From IPM News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, August 23rd. Coming up, we'll learn more about how truancy lands some Illinois students in court. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Decatur teaching assistants have been without a contract since June. Their union recently brought in an independent mediator. Michelle Mitchell is the union president. She says many of their proposals have been rejected.
What we proposed are items to just survive. Insurance is high, subbing positions often go unfilled, our TAs are overworked.
The Decatur Federation of Teaching Assistants says they represent about 300 people, including sign language interpreters and special education TAs. The newest and lowest paid in the union currently makes $19 an hour. The School Board for Urbana School District 116 has a new recommendation on what to do with Wiley Elementary School after it reopens. IPM reporter May Antar has more.
The committee recommends turning Wiley into a second campus for the Urbana Middle School sixth graders. When Wiley temporarily closed last summer for asbestos abatement and renovations, some community members were in an uproar. Mabruka Yazidi was a Wiley parent. She says she wishes there were more opportunities for their voices to be considered.
Like, we've just basically been reacting to move after move on the district side, right? Instead of actually being really able to help.
The board will vote on what to do with Wiley in October. I'm May Antar, IPM News.
Planned Parenthood of Illinois says they are gearing up for more patients coming from Indiana as the Hoosier state moves to enact a near total ban on abortion access. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Republican lawmakers in Indiana passed the abortion ban last summer. And after a year of legal challenges, the Indiana Supreme Court is upholding the law, which only makes exceptions in cases of rape, incest, or if the person's life is at risk. Planned Parenthood of Illinois CEO Jennifer Welch says they're looking for ways to expand their capacity.
As additional states like Indiana and Iowa severely restrict or outright ban abortion, that doesn't always mean opening a new brick-and-mortar center. That could mean adding more days or more providers at our existing centers.
Planned Parenthood currently operates two clinics near the Indiana state line, in addition to several locations in the Chicago area. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Arlington Heights has hired a lobbying team as talks continue in Springfield about the Bears' potential move to the northwest suburb. Alex Degman reports.
The Village Board agreed to pay Max Strategies Group $10,000 a month over the next year. The Bears were eyeing the Arlington Park racetrack site for its new stadium, but the football team has been looking at other suburbs too and is still considering staying in Chicago. Arlington Heights Mayor Tom Hayes says whatever happens to the old race course, the Village needs to have a voice.
It's come to a kind of a critical point in the process where we do need some assistance down in Springfield, and it's something we just don't have.
Representative Marty Moylan floated a measure earlier this year that would offer property tax relief and tack a $3 ticket surcharge onto all events at a new stadium complex. He plans to bring it back in the fall veto session. I'm Alex Degman.
Still to come, we'll learn more about how truancy lands some Illinois students in court. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Take a deep dive into the meaning and history behind some of America's most quintessential symbols and stories with the series Iconic America. David Rubenstein, who's a lifelong student of American history, examines America's past through the lens of our most emblematic symbols and landmarks. Rubenstein explores the meaning and origins of icons that connect us to our country's past. Friends of WILL can watch all episodes now with WILL Passport. Find out more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. What happens when students miss a lot of school without a valid excuse? Some students find themselves tangled up in truancy or educational neglect court. Peter Medlin has more on what that can mean for families.
A few years ago, Darwin says it was hard to picture a future for themselves. It's an upsetting thought for anyone, let alone someone just barely starting high school.
I'm just gonna work until, I have nothing left.
It was a really hard time. Their grandmother was very sick, their mother was struggling with mental health issues, and then the pandemic hit. And Darwin was pretty much on their own for nearly a year without a parent providing food for them. And they had missed a few hundred days of school dating back to middle school.
In the beginning, the reason why I myself chose not to go to school was because of a certain family member that would scare me.
They would go to school regularly for a month or so, then things at home would take a turn again. At some point, they missed so much school and were so behind on assignments, it just felt like there was no chance they'd catch up. So what's the point? The school offered tutoring, but they had no ride to get there. Darwin's case started off in family court, but was eventually transferred to truancy court. Megan Hawkinson is the director of at-risk student services at the Regional Office of Education covering Boone and Winnebago counties. And she has a team of attendance interventionists, and they also refer students to the state's attorney's office for educational neglect and truancy cases like Darwin's.
Truancy is a symptom. Maybe 1% of the cases are kids that just don't care, like don't want to go to school. There's almost always some sort of underlying issue.
Truancy typically involves older students, while educational neglect focuses on a parent or guardian not providing education to their younger child. It's her team's job to peel back the layers and to find those underlying issues. Like an onion, you might peel back one problem and discover another. A housing issue might have an addiction or domestic violence issue hidden underneath. Across two counties, Hawkinson has 800 kids on her caseload, but less than 10% end up in court. Most get resolved quickly, but she sits in court every other week, answering education questions from the judge and giving a report on what the child's attendance has been like since the last time they were there. Not every county refers students to court this way, but Hawkinson says Winnebago tries to be proactive in getting them back in the classroom. Every student in a truancy case is appointed a guardian ad litem. They're an attorney who is supposed to act in the best interest of the minor, as opposed to a lawyer simply representing a client. Stephen Whitmore is a guardian ad litem for the Winnebago County Juvenile Courts.
I have the entire educational and truancy call, and then I also have other abuse and neglect cases that also happen to occur in my courtroom. Sometimes the two cases bleed together.
He currently has 300 cases, 200 in abuse and neglect and 100 in truancy. Whitmore says Winnebago County has the second highest volume to Cook County. By the time a youth makes it into his courtroom, they've already had at least 3 attempts at a meeting, as well as a home visit by the truancy interventionists. Whitmore does home visits too, and he says he deals with a lot of school-based anxiety, especially with the pandemic. And the judge is often able to order counseling or for the parent to request an individualized education plan evaluation for their child.
I wish there was more access to counseling for kids who are struggling. We run out of counselors very quickly.
In a vast majority of cases, the child stays with their parent. That wasn't the case with Darwin. The judge was able to put Darwin into the care of their older cousin who adopted them this year. It took over a year, but Darwin was able to move in permanently and switch school districts. It was a big challenge, but they had more support this time. And now they're going into their senior year of high school, and after a lot of summer school and credit recovery, are on track to graduate on time.
You will cry, you will get pissed, and you will have all these emotions like coming at you, and you will have no idea what to do. But really, it's a lot easier than it thinks. You just have to believe.
The truancy court process worked out for Darwin, but it's stressful. Some cases take years. And although they had some helpful social workers and truancy officers, their adoptive mom says many people at their old school didn't take the time to really understand why Darwin was missing so much school. And if people there had taken more of an interest in finding out that Darwin's basic needs weren't being met, they might have gotten back on the path to success even sooner than they did. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says the excessive heat warning remains in effect through Thursday evening. A dangerous combination of heat and humidity will lead to afternoon heat index values of 100 to 110 degrees across central Illinois. For today, mostly sunny with a high of 96 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, May Antar, Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.